It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Decades after legendary jazz singer Billie Holiday first sang her song Strange Fruit, its legacy endures. But 21st century fans of Lady Day might not be entirely aware of just how controversial the song was when Holiday originally performed it in the late 1930s. Director Lee Daniels says he didn't learn about the troubling history surrounding Strange Fruit until he began to work on a film about Holiday's life.
It wasn't until I read Susan Laurie Parks' script, The United States versus Billie Holiday, that I realized that the government and media had suppressed information about her sort of kicking off the civil rights movement with this song of hers, Strange Fruit, which was about black men and women being lynched.
Southern trees bear strange fruit.
I think what upset me most was that I thought, how can America not know this story? And if America doesn't know this story, how many other stories are out there that we don't know?
Out this week on Hulu, The United States versus Billie Holiday depicts how federal law enforcement officials targeted Holiday for shining a light on racial injustice.
They asked her nicely to stop singing it, and then she said no. And so they realized that she was addicted to heroin, and that's how they got her. They took away her license to sing, and in that time, that's how you really made your money. So she couldn't perform any longer in New York City. They arrested her. And they went to no extent. And she just continued to sing the song because she understood the importance of the song.
When I spoke with Lee Daniels about his new film, he told me that Holiday's story has unfortunately become even more relevant since he first started to bring it to the screen. And Daniels also doesn't hold back. We should warn you, there's some harsh language as he describes how he deals with executives in his business that some of you might find offensive.
I was doing it because she was an unsung hero. But I didn't really connect it to the now. We did it before George Floyd. We certainly did it before the noose that was at the Capitol. I think that this movie is a call to arms. This movie is a call to arms. When I did The Butler, it was really about hope. We had so much hope with, I don't know whether you remember that last scene, Cecil Gaines is walking down to see a black president. And it was just, I cried at the end of it. I don't see my movies very often. I haven't seen any of my movies, actually, I leave the edit room. But I remember leaving, going to the premiere of the film and crying. And when I left the edit room for Billie, I was crying for another reason. It just, the state of affairs that we are in and how Strange Fruit and Billie's journey is so relevant today.
You mentioned The Butler. I actually remember that moment clearly. I was at a screening for that film when it came out, and you're right, it was a very different moment then compared to today and sort of what we're dealing with when it comes to racial justice in this country. I want to pivot for a minute to your work in television. You've worked on Empire and Star. Do you have specific things that you prefer when it comes to film versus TV, or do they give you the same type of energy? Do you have a preference for one over the other? Does the format matter to you?
I love both mediums. It's like, do you like jazz or do you like disco? Both are outlets for me to express myself and to get my work out there. I think that with television, though, I didn't know what I was doing when I walked into and did Empire. I only did it because I was told by many of my friends that television was where the money was, and I couldn't afford, though I had gotten Oscars for people and such and many awards, I could not afford to put my kids through college, and they were about to go off to school, and I was not going to take out a loan. And so I said, when my partner said, hey, let's make another movie let's make a musical, a black musical, Empire. I was like, nope, we're going to do this for television because I want some money. And but I didn't know what that meant. You know, I just thought it was like, okay, we've written and directed this beautiful story, which was the pilot. And I thought that, I thought that was it. And then they said it was picked up. I said, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, you got to go back and you got to tell more story. I go, wait a minute, hold up. I don't know whether we signed up for all of that. And
you got to keep them hooked every week now, Lee.
I know, man. It was a really trying and hard it was really hard for me. And also because in film, I am king. I am, no one questions anything. If you don't like anything in my film, it's me. Blame me, no one else, because I am the ultimate approval over everything. But with television, it really is a, it's by committee. It's your vision, but people are constantly giving you notes. The big note, I remember my partner, Danny Strong, who wrote The Butler for me, who co-wrote Empire with me, was like, Lee, I know you don't take notes, but we're walking into a group of, and he's white, by the way. He's like, walking into a group of white people, and trust me, you're going to see, it's a room full of white people. You're going to have problems. You know, just be quiet, nod, and say yes. And so I did, you know, and this is the first episode. And the notes just kept coming. They were stupid notes. It didn't make any sense at all. Finally, there were literally six white people on one side of the row, and then six white people on the other side of the row, and then me and Danny at the head of the table. By the end of the hour, they were like, well, I don't understand why Cookie beats her son with a broom. Can we just take that out? I think that people won't, you know. And I lost it. I said, because that's what niggas do. We never, at the end of that, they got no more notes. It was a kumbaya, and they let me do my thing for that season, you know. So I was able to do it, but I couldn't continue on after the first season. It became, not that I don't love the characters. I just was, you know, it's not creatively fulfilling to continue to write for characters that I'd never done it before. So I jumped into another television show and had other people write. And maybe that was a mistake, because I don't think that I never responded to what was happening from the second season on. But I did Star, which I thought was important to the, that we talked about Black Lives Matter and trans lives and stuff that was important to me.
You mentioned not wanting to have to go through getting a loan for a project. And you've talked about the difficulty in getting, whether it's a loan or any type of funding for the films that you make. What have been some of the biggest stumbling blocks?
Actually, I don't look at them because, you know, forget the first movie I did was Monsters Ball, and nobody wanted to do that either. So I remember like trying to get the script and trying to get the writers and all of that stuff and really having to borrow from some illegal places to get my first movie off and up and going. Thank God that's like 100 years ago. That I don't have to go to those sources. But I'm not a part of the system. I was never a part of Hollywood. I broke into Hollywood with a vision and with a specific vision that sometimes is alarming to even Black people, my own people.
Why is that, Lee? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, a lot of people were upset with my portrayal of Halle Berry for Monsters Ball. A lot of people were, I got death threats because I had Jamal in Empire kissing a man, you know, that was never done before. And so, and I think that I'm not aware of it in the moment, but, you know, I'm paving the path for others too. There wouldn't be a Black Panther or Insecure, any of these shows without the juggernaut of Empire. And in that though, you are doing such iconoclastic stuff, even within the culture, that, you don't realize that how offensive you are to people that don't want to see two men kissing on screen, two Black men kissing on screen, or a white woman having sex with a Black woman. And you know, all these, you know, so I can only tell the nuanced experiences of my people, of people that I know are real and people I know are in pain and the preciouses of the world that will never, ever have a life, which is one of the reasons I was so attracted to a life to anybody else out there. And people like were offended when I did Precious, like, how can you show this Black family? Like, guess what? Because it's real. It's real. And people need to, and I can't tell you how many people, how many families, how many women came up to me and cried in my arms because of Precious. But with that, for every Precious, you're going to take a hit with people that don't want to see that and don't, and look at me as a shit starter, et cetera. And I've taken that as it is what it is. And, but I'm going to continue to do, I'm going to continue to march to my own beat.
Well, and to that point, I mean, I could see people saying, well, Lee, you know, because you have all this power, is it important to highlight, you know, pathologies in Black and brown communities rather than more uplifting stories, right? Stories that focus on other issues within Blackness, American Blackness, and the Black community.
Well, I did, I thought. I thought that I did with, I really thought I did with Billie Holiday. You know, I thought that, you know, I'm giving her a life. And here's the thing. With that life that I'm giving her, I'm honoring her as a civil rights leader. I'm also talking about her past, which people are going to be upset about. But what am I supposed to do? Lie about her past? Because that is what makes her the gem, the beauty, and the beautiful soul that she is. She can't help but being born into what she is, what she was born into. I cannot, I'm not gonna lie. Everybody wasn't born into the Huxtables. You know, we are from slaves. And from that, we have, that we've survived this long and have been, that you and I are sitting here talking about it is a miracle. It's a miracle from God. And I don't take that for granted.
We talked a little bit about Precious. So, Lee, I'm going to have to ask you, I'm sure you've been asked this many, many times, but regarding Precious, Monique, who won an Oscar for Precious, has criticized you several times. Last year, she told Fox Soul's Claudia Jordan that you and Oprah and Tyler Perry, all big names, were responsible for blacklisting her in Hollywood. Do you have anything to say about that? Anything that you're, any thoughts on that issue in retrospect?
I have no comment about Monique. I have nothing but love to send to her. And no, I never blacklisted her.
You have worked in Hollywood since the 1980s, and you said you'd broken into it. But, you know, the hashtag #OscarSoWhite was only a couple of years ago. And I wonder whether you think the industry has made any lasting, real change, not just symbolic change, but actual change.
Yes, I do. I mean, you have to understand, I come from back, I've been at this for a very long time. I can't believe I'm as old as I am, but I've been at this since I was 22. I'm 61 now. So I was at it when a time when it was acceptable for white people to be writing, and we were happy just to have a job. So white people were writing our stuff, white people were directing our stuff, white people producing our stuff. And I have been a part of the evolution of making change, not just in front of the camera, but behind the cameras, making sure that Black people were employed and that gay people were employed and that trans people were employed my entire career. And that was as important to me as the stories that I am telling and that I was telling. And I guess it's popular now to say that this was all important, but it's a journey that I've taken. I carried myself was important to me as my stories. I don't think that, yes, has it changed? So yes, clearly it's changed from the time that I've been in here and, you know, been fighting with the studios to hire Black people, even as far back to, you know, I remember for Empire, I wanted to, John Singleton was my buddy. And I wanted him to direct an episode of Empire. Well, the system wasn't set up for Black people to direct episodes of Empire or to write episodes of Empire. They don't. The unions have white people. So I had to fight for an Oscar-nominated director like John Singleton, tooth and nail, for him to direct an episode of Empire. That's where we were. That's where it was that I come from. So I see it as an enormous change. And I know to some of these young kids out here now, I mean, you know, it ain't changed, you know, it is, but I've seen it and I'm really grateful for it because I'd like to see how they could hang 30 years ago back in the trenches with me. But has changed in a way that is groundbreaking? No, it's not going to be that way until we have studio heads, meaning the presidents, the CEOs of studios, Disney, Sony, Paramount, Netflix. Until you get Black people that are at the top of that food chain that understand that hot sauce goes on the fried chicken and the collard greens before you eat them, you're not going to understand the nuance of the African-American experience. You can certainly hire producers that do that, but are you going to finance those films that are important? Do you really understand the culture the way you understand your culture?
And finally, we started talking about how difficult of a year this has been for so many people with the pandemic. And one of the things, Lee, that we've been doing here on the show is asking guests throughout the year whether there's something they're doing in this moment to find joy, something that brings them joy in this moment. Do you have anything that you're doing that brings you joy?
I do. I love, my boyfriend's so upset with me because I can't, but I love CNN. And I love Good Morning America. It's so clear. I mean, I'm embarrassed, but you know, I wake up to it. I wake up to Good Morning America and Robert Roberts, I'm who I'm obsessed with. And I go to sleep listening to Don Lemon. It's just it's a beautiful thing to hear, to get a good grasp on what's happening in the world.
What else can I say? Lee Daniels is the director of the United States versus Billie Holiday. Lee, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.